ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजलाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके सो 16 जनवरी, सो राजीव प्रभु यू कैन रीड 5 आर्टिकल्स एंड देन आई विल कंटिन्यू 5।
ओके प्रभु जी। ओके सो 16 जनवरी भागवत प्रभुपदा सेड कैन यू कोट दिस वर्स, the two of us looked at each other and I thought Tamal Krishna Goswami will quote the verse, but Tamal Krishna Goswami thought I was going to do it. Neither of us knew the verse. Prabhupada said, just see, you are not reading my books. Every day you have to read, study and learn my books. Just like a lawyer learns the law books, you must know everything, chapter and verse. If you do not know, how will you preach? Unless you know my books, how will you teach these men? Do you know that every day, even I read my own books? Do you know why I read my books? We didn't want to venture any answer. Prabhupada said, I read my books. I read my books every day because even I learn something new when I read my books. These are not my books. I do not write these books. It seemed as if something mystical came over him at this point. He said, every morning when I sit here to write my books, Krishna comes personally and dictates to me what to write. I simply take dictation from Krishna to write these books. Therefore, when I read them, even I learn something. The way he said it was so dramatic that we felt the weight of his words. I was thinking, I'm speaking with a person who's speaking with God, who's right next to God. I'm only one person removed from God. He's so close. Yet, I knew, because of the state of my own consciousness, how far away I actually was. But by some grace, I was being placed right next to God by being with Prabhupada. It was amazing.
Yeah. So this is something that I even quoted in my seminar.
Yeah.
You know, how Prabhupada actually very clearly mentioned that Krishna is personally coming and dictating each and every word to him. So how important his books are, and every devotee in ISKCON, they are supposed to read Prabhupada's books very thoroughly. So it is extremely important that we have to make this commitment. It's actually the most important service also, compared to other services that we take. Because this is a lifelong commitment to our Acharya, to our spiritual master. And if we don't know the works of Acharya, the work of the spiritual master, what are we going to preach? Because for preaching, the knowledge has to be realized. And for that, first of all, we have to get knowledge. And we should understand also the mode of the Acharya, what he wants to, how he has presented. So, so you know, Prabhupada's books are multifaceted, because he has not just given the philosophy, but he has also given practicalities, he has also given theories, I mean, he has also given idealistic knowledge, and Prabhupada is actually very, he's extremely strong in presenting certain points, which one might feel or think that these are not necessarily relevant in today's day and age. So there are many points like that in his purpose, which one will feel that they are actually not relevant. But I think, you know, there are certain statements of Prabhupada which probably might become relevant, because Prabhupada said very clearly, my books are the law books for the next 10,000 years. So maybe it might not be relevant, it might not seem relevant as of now, but probably in the future, and because we are just thinking of this one lifetime, or maybe we are thinking of the next 10 generations down the line, but Prabhupada is probably thinking of the next 10,000 years to come. And when we read those things in the next coming next 10,000 years, then maybe it can make sense to us. So there are many things that Prabhupada has given to us in his books. You know, whether it is about cow protection, whether it is about karma, whether it is about certain conceptions about spiritual life or material life or principles, nature's law. So everything Prabhupada has given from the Shastra. So it is actually very important to understand what he said, because even if you want to get into a discussion or conversation with other devotees, and if we want to guide them in spiritual life, then also it is extremely important that we present what Prabhupada said first. See, my opinion, your opinion, everyone's opinion, that way there will be infinite opinions. But what we are concerned with presenting the truth. And truth is only presented as it is. So it can actually mean that, this actually means that we must know what our Acharya has said about particular topics. So if some devotee will come and tell you, ask you some questions, and he will ask your opinion, he'll ask your guidance. If we are not sure what Prabhupada said about these things, then how can we guide? So the way we are guiding is by hearing lectures from senior devotees. And they are all repeating Prabhupada. So if you are hearing lectures, or reading Prabhupada books, or doing both. So these things are important, because then actually you will understand what Prabhupada said or what the Shastra is saying. So obviously we are also concerned with what Prabhupada is saying, what the Shastra is saying, and how do we implement it in our current time. That is, I think, best guided by the sadhus. So Guru is saying, Shastra is saying, but the sadhus, how they are following the instruction of Guru and Shastra, that is also very important. That is very relevant. So it is very important that we should thoroughly read the books of Prabhupada, not just the books, but even letter Prabhupada, you know, all the letters of Prabhupada, then conversations, what else? His lectures, conversations, his his leelas also, you know, leela in the sense that what we are doing right now, that we are discussing Prabhupada's leelas, where, you know, how he has practically he has acted. So that is very important also, because these things can become theoretical, but like, you know, I have quoted few examples of that, you know, how Prabhupada actually said that Lord Ramchandra's appearance should be observed till moonrise, just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. So he has very clearly mentioned this in his writings. But actually, when Prabhupada was there with the devotees, practically they used to break the fast at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's how we are also breaking at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. And so whatever Prabhupada is giving theoretically, you know, practically maybe there may be some different this thing. But so that is the reason it is important to properly understand, analyze it. Okay. So in my seminar, I'd also mention one very important point, that I think when you are reading Prabhupada books, so there are challenges also with reading Prabhupada books, and I think the foremost challenge is too repetitive, you know, the purports are too repetitive, and majority of the time Prabhupada is refuting Mayavad, giving many, many reasonings, logic. So these are the challenges, because, you know, these are kind of repeated throughout. So, you know, which is something that we have to actually commit ourselves to, because even though in spite of these things, if we keep continuing, then obviously we get more mercy from Prabhupada, from Krishna. Because any devotional service that we do, it is always faced by some obstacle. It is always faced by challenges. And the idea is that we don't give it up. We keep continuing. We remove the obstacles, or we take the obstacles as an austerity, and then we continue our devotional service, right? Whether it is sadhana, whether it is devotional service, any kind of devotional activity, we continue to do it. We don't give it up. So similarly, there are some challenges that we'll face in reading Prabhupada books. So obviously, see, we should not take up verses beyond our capacity, what we can do every day. Like on a regular basis, on a daily basis, if you are able to read only 5 verses, then we should not unnecessarily burden ourselves and take 10 verses. Then what will happen? You will not be able to read in a continuous way, and you will be discouraged, and then you will give it up. But if you take 2 or 3 verses in a day, or according to your capacity, 5 or 10, whatever, if you do that every day, then you will be encouraged to keep continuing, go forever. So this is one of the most important strategies that we can, how we can actually read Prabhupada books. And we have to also accept it that, okay, Prabhupada is going to repeat now. So, and another way to understand this repetition is that Prabhupada, somehow I think, you know, his idea was that whoever touches the book and he opens the book from anywhere, he should understand the Siddhanta, he should understand the Tattva. And so that's the reason Prabhupada actually has given philosophy everywhere. Whichever book you take, whichever page you take. So whether it is first canto or whether it is 10th canto, you will find philosophy everywhere. So, you know, a newcomer will not actually feel that he is disconnected or he is reading something beyond his level. Okay. And at the same time, he has also given a lot of deep understanding of Shastras. So if someone reads Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, and then teaching about Chaitanya, then actually we'll understand that this is not even for the beginners. This is something which is actually beyond certain level of understanding. So very intelligently, it was Prabhupada's genius that he has somehow consolidated everything in one place. Okay. So one of the things that I mentioned in the seminar is that if you complete Prabhupada books once, does not mean you have finished Prabhupada books. Actually, I will tell you one thing. I am reading for the 3rd time Prabhupada books, and actually now I can gradually begin to understand what he is saying, to be very honest. Okay. The first time that I read, second time that I read, you know, okay, probably maybe I must have appreciated from an external surface. But now, gradually, I am able to understand and relate. So I think the idea is that start with Prabhupada books, finish Prabhupada books. Then, if you are encouraged, inspired, or if you want to, as a service you want to do, you can also read other Acharya works. But when you are doing this, you should never stop reading Prabhupada books. This is a continuous service till our last breath, like that. We should never give up Prabhupada books, reading Prabhupada books. And no, you know, if you want to read other books, that's fine, but Prabhupada books, you should always keep it going. Okay, so simultaneously, if you feel that, okay, now I don't need to read Prabhupada books, that's an illusion. Then the ego is somehow bewildering us. Okay, that is the point of illusion, because one may feel that, okay, I've read so much of Prabhupada books, now I don't feel I should read, because other acharyas, they are giving more information, they are going more insights, and they are not so philosophical, they are not so repetitive. So I have to stop reading Prabhupada books because I've understood what he has said. This is not possible, because the content Prabhupada has given us is not even sufficient for this lifetime. It is actually equivalent to millions of lifetimes, if we thoroughly scrutinizing the, and obviously, see, as we know, Shastra, reading Shastra is basically, the more you realize knowledge, the more you understand the knowledge, the more realizations you get. So the same Shastra, if you keep reading again and again, the more realized you will become. You will get more and more realized, new and new realizations. So Shastra never becomes old. That is the nature of Shastra. And moreover, if you read Acharya works, their teachings also has the same nature. that the more you read them, the more you get more deep realizations. Okay, so is this clear? Anyone has any comment or question on this?
Okay.
Okay, Prabhuji, you can continue. Arishna, you can continue, Prabhuji.
Sorry. My mic was muted, so I had started reading. Okay. So Tripurari Swami, Prabhupada taught us about Krishna Leela. Then we ventured a question about Rasatva. More often than not, we would answer to the effect of, why don't you go there and find out? What can I say about that? What will you know by my speaking about it? What can you grasp intellectually? This shouldn't be talked about. Of course, it is in his books, and he does talk about it with certain parameters, but one will really know it by going there by service and sacrifice. We hope that devotees and newcomers will be inspired by that, as well by serving his message. Then one can know him. Prabhupada is a big subject. Some knew him as Swamiji. And when he said, now there will be initiations, some didn't want to know him any further. Gradually explained his mission and some people stayed on while others decided. That's enough for me. We should try to go the limit. He personally exemplified unlimited service and sacrifice in relation to Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He took the suggestion of his guru as an order. Prabhupada said, my Guru Maharaj ordered me, if you ever get money, print books. Actually, his Guru Maharaj suggested it to him at Radha Kunda, but Prabhupada took it as an order. In his commentary on verse 2.41 from Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada writes how one-mindedness, fixed intelligence is required for spiritual life. He quotes Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's prayer to the spiritual master, Yasya Prasad Bhagavat Prasado, Yasya Prasada Nagati Kutopi. Prabhupada's idea of one-mindedness was service to the order of the Guru. His Guru's order was a suggestion, but he took it as an order and his life and soul. So he's very extreme on his point, on this point. And if we can follow that example of faith in the Guru, then I think we can know Prabhupada as he is.
Yeah, so here also, you know, again, the same thing, that spiritual knowledge, spiritual world is revealed by revelation, by service, by surrender, by sacrifice. It is not revealed by anything else. And that time also disciples, some disciples wanted to know about Ras Lila, Ras Tattva. Prabhupada said that, how can I tell you about it? You have to go there and you have to yourself, find out yourself. So, and you know, so it was like very clear that for Prabhupada, it was very important that we, that like, you know, everyone follows the instruction of the spiritual master, everyone becomes one-minded, focused on the instruction of the spiritual master. Then, actually, spiritual world is revealed to us. So, without that, there is no question of entering higher realms. This is actually the foundation of spiritual life. And that is the reason, see, it is not just important to speak Harikatha, but it is also important to sacrifice, to surrender, to take responsibility for Prabhupada's mission. So these things are all important. We cannot neglect. So there are some devotees who may be only doing Harikatha. Some devotees, they may only focus on preaching. And probably they might not focus on bhajan sadhana, But actually, it has to be a proper balance of these things. And so it is very important that with sadhana, practical service should be there. If it is not there, then obviously the sadhana is not realized. So it's very theoretical. So speaking about certain things, certain subject matters, Rasleela, Rasatva, or Krishna Katha, Krishna Leela, Gaur Leela, Gaur Katha, these are, you know, I think whoever can read all these Leelas, they can share with others. But the realized thing is that they have to make that kind of surrender also. So surrender and purity is actually most important, rather than someone speaking and becoming popular. Okay, so this is very important. And so the devotees who have become popular, they are not known so much because of their popularity, especially amongst the devotees, but they are known, you know, they are appreciated and they are known for their popularity because of their surrender to their guru. It is not because of being very popular in the eyes of general people. Okay, it is mainly because of their sacrifice and surrender. So, there are classic examples in our ISKCON. There are so many devotees. So let me just give, you know, one example. So I just, last week I had visited my site in Boisar. So on the way I stopped at the ISKCON Desiratory office, Hare Krishna TV office in Mira Road. And so then I met one of my devotee friend. He is a senior devotee. So, you know, they are all working for Hare Krishna TV. And they are all under Vaishnav Seva Prabhu. So now Vaishnav Seva Prabhu, he is the one who actually started this ISKCON Desiratory. And since that time, you know, this IDT is serving lakhs of devotees throughout the world. And most of the lectures from throughout the world, they are also channelized through the IDT. And now recently, Hare Krishna TV has also come up. So it is reaching large amount of audience throughout the world now. So this Vaishnava Seva Prabhu, you know, his dedication and commitment to Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj is so unique that, you know, he is a doctor by profession, and I think his wife is also probably a doctor. I'm not sure about that, but I think so. And they have two flats in Mira Road, you know, area, location. So these two flats are like opposite each other. One of the flats, which is a huge one, that he has completely given up for the service of ISKCON Desiratory and Hare Krishna TV now. So all devotees who are working, actually, it's not an office also. It is clearly a house. If you go to the office, you will immediately understand that this is a house, because it does not look like office only. But entire, you know, the flat he has actually given to the office. He has made an office actually. And so the big flat, all these devotees, they are working, and he himself is living in a very small apartment without, you know, he just lives in one room with his wife. And, you know, that devotee was telling me that he does not even wear new clothes many times. Like one time he noticed that Prabhu had wore a shirt which was torn, but he just somehow put a sellotape and he joined it, and he could actually see the sellotape also. So and then he was telling me that the entire whatever he's earning, everything he's putting in IDT and Hare Krishna TV. He's like sponsoring and he's financing and looking after it. So like he was telling me that monthly he's like donating around 10 to 12 lakhs every month, you know. And like he has completely dedicated his life for that. And obviously he is very, very dear to Guru Maharaj also because of his dedication. And, you know, Maharaj is very pleased with his service. So see, there are such kind of devotees also who are in the background. We have probably not even heard the names of such devotees. And I think, so I was like feeling that after hearing his dedication, I was feeling that it's useless for me to speak anything, you know, because precept is better than like talking about things. So he's the one who's actually supposed to speak and cultivate, you know, because he can actually inspire and cultivate devotees. But what we are doing, we are not doing anything actually compared to what he's doing. So, but still we are talking so much, right? So this is what actually we can understand, that there are many devotees who are in the background. And obviously, like, you know, there are some examples of Prabhupada disciples, what they have done. If you hear about their lives, then you'll understand. And they are not even known in the public, you know, in the background. But there are devotees who speak a lot. They have become popular because of that. But internally, if you see, there is no sacrifice, that kind of sacrifice. There is no that kind of level of surrender. But just because they are excellent speakers, they have come in the forefront. And maybe many of devotees are, they just want to hear from them. And this is a practical thing. When we hear about some Prabhupada disciple coming and speaking and giving class, how many devotees go there? But if some popular figure if you announce name of a popular figure, then many thousands of devotees will assemble for the class. So, Krishna consciousness is not just about externalities. It is also about, like, Krishna knows everything and Prabhupada knows everything. So, the devotees who deserve that kind of appreciation, you know, maybe sometimes Krishna will not give them that appreciation because Krishna has many, many different considerations. And, you know, devotees also, he wants to exemplify their humility. So Krishna will do such kind of things. And then obviously we never know that, it can be the karma of a devotee, that the previous life, a devotee might have the karma to become popular in this life. So he will become popular in this life. And, you know, they can use it for Krishna service. Obviously, that's a different thing. But it's not necessary that someone who is very popular is very surrendered and very committed to their guru. It's not necessary. And so we know many devotees from the background. They are in the background and they are exemplary in whatever they are doing, but they don't want any kind of appreciation or reputation. Yeah, so this is the principle. Okay, so any comments or questions on this? Okay. Yeah, next, you can continue.
Yeah, yes. I've got the date one minute. On this. So on now is on 20th January. Right? Bhagavat. One morning, he was talking with us about the future of the ISKCON movement. He said that he wanted to buy all the land in Mayapur and establish a self-sufficient community. Once that was established, he would then declare independence from India, succeed from the country, and make his own country, the country of Mayapur. Then his temples around the world would become embassies for the country of Mayapur, and the temple presidents would be ambassadors. We would print our own money called Chaitanyas. There would be one Chaitanya, five Chaitanyas, and 10 Chaitanyas. For our export, we would make devotional items and sell them all over the world. Prabhupada had a vision of his own country, his own embassies, his own ambassadors, his own monetary system, his own economic system, and his own export production. Sometimes we don't realize how big Prabhupada was actually thinking, how grand he wanted this mission to be. And I remember this discussion, I think, phew, we're so far away from where he wanted to take this movement. How much harder we need to work. That's quite amazing.
So, such a magnificent dream Prabhupada had. Chaitanya's, everything Chaitanya. Money, car, whatever, economy, everything related to Lord Chaitanya. So, yeah, so this is Prabhupada's ultimate desire that a separate country be created. I think we have discussed this before also, that Prabhupada had this, I mean, he obviously he always thought big, and this is one of the biggest desire and dreams that Prabhupada had, is that we create our own country, and that country will be an ideal example for the rest of the world. So here we can actually clearly see that.
Right. So, should I read the next one?
Yeah. Yeah. So any comments? Anyone has any comments on this?
So I just feel if Prabhupada had even that vision, then is that going to happen for sure?
Well, maybe we hope probably in the next 10,000 years. as long as the Hare Krishna movement, holy name will be spread. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that it will spread till next 10,000 years. And then I think the influence of Kali Yuga will then overcome other things. So, yeah, maybe at the end of the 10,000 year, it is probably a possibility that you know, ISKCON might have we might have our own country. So it is possible because, you know, I mean, if you expand something, that means that the population grows, and the moment the population starts growing, and if they are following a particular concept, then obviously it immediately gets converted to a country because, I mean, you know, we identify a country by its culture. So yeah, it is obvious that, you know, maybe in the future, if majority of the people, if they are Hare Krishna, then obviously you get a Hare Krishna country also. Just like, you know, we have Christians and we have Muslims. So Muslims, obviously, they are, wherever they are present, they've create a small zone, you know, and then that zone will expand because they keep expanding the population. So finally, if they become the majority, then the entire region becomes the country. So it is possible, definitely.
So maybe Srila Prabhupada got this inspiration from seeing Vatican City. The Vatican is in Rome, the Pope. But it is like a country. It's a small country within a
Correct. Country. Yeah. I think it's the smallest country in the world, right? Vatican City.
Correct.
Yeah, so I think, you are probably correct that maybe, he has similar ideas from this. And that's how he has visioned that even if we are currently whatever population we are, he thought that Mayapur could be the headquarters or he might, you know, Mayapur could be developed as a country, and although it might be a small country, but still it will be a role model for the entire world. So I think even if it has a less amount of population in the beginning, but if they inspire people throughout the world, then gradually people start coming in and they start spreading out and expansion happens automatically, and then obviously it can transform into bigger country like that.
Correct.
Okay, all right. Yeah, continue for
next one. Yeah. 22nd January, Sureshwar. Srila Prabhupada stayed in New Dwarka for more than a week in June 1976. It was at this time that some devotees had formed a Gopi Bhav club, and Prabhupada corrected the Sahajiya tendency that they had developed. I went to one of their Gopi Bhav meetings and I knew something was wrong because they minimized Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada came down heavily on these Gopi Bhav devotees, and it's what they needed, what we all needed to hear. They were the first full-blown Sahajiya group in the West. It was a weed growing around our creeper of devotion, Bhakti Lata. So Prabhupada pulled it out strongly. there were many famous quotes that came out of their meeting. The devotees asked him, "But Prabhupada, you say that everything is in your book and the pastimes of the gopis are there too." He said, "Yes, my books are like a drugstore. But when you walk in the drugstore, you can't just buy any medicine. You have to get the medicine that's appropriate for you. First Kurukshetra Leela, then Ras Leela." Another answer Prabhupada gave to one of their challenges was, "First deserve, then desire." So Srila Prabhupada was so sweet but so heavy. He was as hard as a thunderbolt and as soft as a rose. At that time, I was indexing the 8th canto at the BBT in Los Angeles, and I had mixed feelings. On the one hand, I thought, boy, Srila Prabhupada's been here a week. This is great. On the other hand, I thought, I wonder when he's going to leave, because he was so heavy. I wasn't even his personal servant. I was just living in the same neighborhood where he stayed. He was in his quarters in Rukmini Dwarkadeep Dham. And I was thinking, this is intense. I don't know how long I can go on being in the same neighborhood as Prabhupada. So that was another indication that I had a long way to go before I could intimate, before I could be intimate with Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah, so two lessons to be learned. The first thing is about first deserve, then desire. So, you know, we all have a tendency to jump. We all want shortcuts. And obviously that is there because we are in the material world. And we generally look out for more, you know, easily available options than to strive and to work hard and to deserve something. So similarly, for and obviously because of the ego, we always want the highest thing. You know, in spite of not even understanding where we are at. So this same tendency is reflected when we come to the spiritual realm, where we are always thinking that we are gopis of Krishna because they are the highest devotees. So in spite of devotees' inclinations, they all want to become gopis. Their personal tendencies, inclinations, which we are not even aware, but we still strive to become gopis because we know they are the best ones, or we think that, okay, because they are the best, that's why we should also be the best, and we cannot accept an inferior position. But spiritual, in the spiritual realm, everything is the best, and everyone is satisfied with their own relationship with the Lord, with their own rasa. So this is a tendency of the material world, which is actually brought into the spiritual realm. And so Prabhupada was very straightforward, very heavy. This happened in Los Angeles. And this Gopi Bhav Club, you know, they start. See, all these things were there during Prabhupada's time. You know, it is also currently going on, but it was there during Prabhupada's time also. And so it is obvious that unless you are invited somewhere, how can you just crash into it? You have to be invited, right? So so this mood is actually very important. That like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, when he was with Gadadhar Pandit, he used to recite the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj 100 times. It is not that Mahaprabhu was only focusing on Radha Krishna Leela, that two intimate Leelas. He was discussing so many other Leelas also. And what to speak of only visiting Vrindavan Dham, he was also visiting many, many holy places throughout India. So if someone thinks that staying in Vrindavan is highest and we should only stay in Vrindavan and we should not go anywhere else, so that is also probably a misconception, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went everywhere when he was preaching. He went to so many Shiva temples also. And he also visited many temples of the Lord. So obviously we know that Golok Vrindavan and Vrindavan in the material world, they are the highest ones. Mayapur is the highest one. But we don't go to the extent of, we don't jump into it. We understand that we have some responsibilities, duties. Unless we are free from anarthas, we cannot actually access these realms. And that is the reason we have to be properly channelized. So Prabhupada wanted to make sure that we always...
आपण ज्या व्यक्तीशी बोलत आहात त्या व्यक्तीने आपला कॉल होल्डवर ठेवला आहे. जिस व्यक्ती से आप बात कर रहे हैं उसने अभी आपकी कॉल को होल्ड पर रखा है. The person you are speaking with has put your call on hold. आपण ज्या व्यक्तीशी बोलत आहात त्या व्यक्तीने आपला कॉल होल्डवर ठेवला आहे.
Someone has put the call on hold.
जिस व्यक्ती से आप बात कर रहे हैं उसने अभी आपकी कॉल को होल्ड पर रखा है. The person you are speaking with has put your call on hold.
Nirvika, you are there?
Yeah, I'm there.
ज्या व्यक्तीशी बोलत आहात त्या व्यक्तीने आपला कॉल होल्डवर ठेवला आहे.
Probably, okay, Tanvi.
Tanvi
Mataji, are you there?
उसने अभी आपकी कॉल को होल्ड पर रखा है. The person you are speaking with has put your call on hold.
Okay, let me message her once again.
आपण ज्या व्यक्तीशी बोलत आहात त्या व्यक्तीने आपला कॉल होल्डवर ठेवला आहे. जिस व्यक्ती से आप बात कर रहे हैं उसने अभी आपकी कॉल को होल्ड पर रखा है. The person you are speaking with has put your call on hold.
By mistake she's put it on hold.
आपण ज्या व्यक्तीशी बोलत आहात त्या व्यक्तीने आपला कॉल होल्डवर ठेवला आहे. जिस व्यक्ती से आप बात कर रहे हैं उसने अभी आपकी कॉल को होल्ड पर रखा है. The person you are speaking with has put your call on hold. आपण ज्या व्यक्तीशी बोलत आहात त्या व्यक्तीने आपला कॉल होल्डवर ठेवला आहे. जिस व्यक्ती से आप बात कर रहे हैं उसने अभी आपकी कॉल को होल्ड पर रखा है. The person you are speaking with has put your call on hold. आपण ज्या व्यक्तीशी बोलत आहात त्या व्यक्तीने आपला कॉल होल्डवर ठेवला आहे. जिस व्यक्ती से आप बात कर रहे हैं उसने अभी आपकी कॉल को होल्ड पर रखा है. The person you are speaking with has put your call on hold. आपण ज्या व्यक्तीशी बोलत आहात त्या व्यक्तीने आपला कॉल होल्डवर ठेवला आहे. जिस व्यक्ती से आप बात कर रहे हैं उसने अभी आपकी कॉल को होल्ड पर रखा है.
I have messaged her, but I don't know if she has not seen that message now.
आपण ज्या व्यक्तीशी बोलत आहात त्या व्यक्तीने आपला कॉल होल्डवर ठेवला आहे. जिस व्यक्ती से आप बात कर रहे हैं उसने अभी आपकी कॉल को होल्ड पर रखा है. The person you are speaking with has put your call on hold. आपण ज्या व्यक्तीशी बोलत आहात त्या व्यक्तीने आपला कॉल होल्डवर ठेवला आहे. जिस व्यक्ती से आप बात कर रहे हैं उसने अभी आपकी कॉल को होल्ड पर रखा है. The person you are speaking with has put your call on hold. आपण ज्या व्यक्तीशी बोलत आहात त्या व्यक्तीने आपला कॉल होल्डवर ठेवला आहे. जिस व्यक्ती से आप बात कर रहे हैं उसने
Hare Krishna, sorry Prabhuji, I just joined the class in a few minutes. I have little important
but you had put the call on hold, no?
Yeah, I actually got a call from office. We are like doing work from home, so there's an issue with the request. I'll just get back to you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but don't put it on hold, okay?
No, I'll cut the call and once I'm done, I'll join it. Okay?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, thank you, Hare Krishna. Okay, Rajiv Prabhu, you can read the next.
Yeah, Prabhu. Okay. Dayananda, for years, Prabhupada treated me a little differently. For years, Prabhupada treated me a little differently than the brahmacharis and sannyasis because I was a householder. He was not so strict, but a little bit more lenient with me. But that changed when I came to Mayapur in 1976 to learn Sanskrit. I had already learned a little bit and was teaching Sanskrit in the Gurukul, but I wanted to advance further. So an Indian devotee was teaching me to read a Sanskrit commentary on the Gita. I thought, this is one side. It's a commentary by Baladev Vidyabhushan, which is in our line. Prabhupada bases his commentary on that commentary. During the morning walk, Prabhupada asked me what I was doing, and I told him that I was reading Baladeva's commentary and studying the Gita grammar. Prabhupada said, we'll talk about this in the evening. At 4 o'clock that evening, I came for Prabhupada's darshan. Several people were there in the room, and Prabhupada was talking with somebody. When the conversation stopped, he turned, looked at me and said, why are you going over the head of the spiritual master? He was very strong. At that time, the few people who were into Sanskrit tended to deviate. One of them was into Goswami writing and Leelas. Prabhupada wasn't pleased with our direction, and he pulled me down to earth, saying, look, this is a deviation. After that, I became Prabhupada's secretary for a month, and he treated me strictly. I'd been temple president, and I thought I had achieved a certain level of responsibility, but when I made a couple of little mistakes, he took me to task. So this was also his compassion. It shows relationship. It shows different kinds of treatment according to different people and circumstances. Prabhupada was incredibly flexible in the way he would train and relate to people.
So here we can see that some devotee was trying to read Baladev Devotional commentary, and there are some other disciples of Prabhupada who had started writing on the Goswami literature and translating it. So Prabhupada was not so happy about it, because he felt, I think he felt that time there was a need to understand the mood, the teachings of the spiritual master first, and then understand what the previous acharya is saying. So during Prabhupada's time, there were certain disciples who were Sanskrit scholars, and I think Prabhupada had encouraged them to do some service in that direction. But over a period of time, I think they started thinking that probably they are better than Prabhupada in terms of understanding Sanskrit, translating Sanskrit, and maybe they started realizing that they are that Prabhupada is making some mistakes somewhere. And so Prabhupada probably got upset with that, and when he heard about his other disciples also turning in that direction, he chastised them, and he said, why are you going over the head of the spiritual master? So yeah, it is very important that we understand the acharyas by the writings and teachings of Srila Prabhupada. So that's called parampara, because otherwise we skip over and we try to reach the acharyas, but then we'll not be able to get it. So there are many, I think not many, but a couple of organizations that have started independently. They had been in ISKCON earlier, but then later on they started their own organization, thinking that Prabhupada made some mistakes in his writings, and probably Prabhupada didn't know Shastra very well. So, like, you know, for example, there is the Jeev Goswami Institute, which is headed by Satyanarayan Das Babaji. He was a part of ISKCON earlier, but then later, over some couple of controversial issues, he left ISKCON and then he formed his own organization. Basically, he felt that Jeev Goswami, because being the highest scholar in the parampara, so we are supposed to follow his philosophy. And, you know, so he formed the Jeev Goswami Institute, where they are promoting the works of Jeev Goswami. And so this is the tendency that scholarly devotees can easily creep in. There are a couple of examples like that, where we had scholarly devotees in ISKCON, but over a period of time they have left, and because they started thinking that, you know, the Goswami's writings, they are more important than what Prabhupada has given to us. So that's that, you know, so this is a tendency of this, and that is the reason Prabhupada was very against devotees learning Sanskrit, especially learning Sanskrit. Whoever knew Sanskrit, Prabhupada would try to encourage them, and he would try to give them service. But at the same time, he was very cautious also, that he was careful and cautious that they should not go beyond him. They should not try to go beyond him because the ego easily can creep in. So he was very careful that devotees and disciples, they should not waste their time in understanding, learning Sanskrit like that. So this is very important. We read Prabhupada books, we also read other Acharya works, but then, and I think there was one, okay, so when we had attended Radhanath Maharaj Vyas Puja last year, and I think Rajiv Prabhu had also joined. So I don't know if you remember this, but there were two, I think one devotee who is Radhika Valla Prabhu. And so he is also one of the scholarly brahmacharis in our Radha Gopinath temple. So he gave his Vyas Puja offering, and so he was mentioning this point that he and another devotee, they had written to Radhanath Maharaj that we would like to learn Sanskrit and we would like to expand our services. So then Radhanath Maharaj, he wrote a letter which was not brief letter. It was actually a very important letter, and he wrote in a detailed way explaining to them that how if someone wants to learn Sanskrit, then the mood has to be very humble. So Maharaj, I think he was explaining in the letter that not all the devotees should be encouraged to read Sanskrit and learn Sanskrit, but only those devotees who are experienced, who are trained, and who are matured in their understanding of Shastras, in their commitment, loyalty to Srila Prabhupada, only these devotees actually they should learn Sanskrit. Otherwise, there is a chance that they can deviate. So somehow I think they got the message what Maharaj was trying to convey to them. And I guess that probably later on they gave up the idea of learning Sanskrit. So this is a very important lesson that we have seen in the past also. Devotees have been trying to, whichever devotee is a scholar in Sanskrit or who knows Sanskrit. So sometimes, you know, there's a tendency that they might emphasize a certain thing which probably Prabhupada might not have emphasized so much. And that's the starting point of deviation, you know, because later on, if we keep doing that, then ultimately we get into the conception that Prabhupada actually didn't knew Sanskrit properly. So it's a trap, you know, and a very dangerous position. So it has to be very thorough training. The devotees who are learning Sanskrit, they have to be very matured, and they must have loyalty to Prabhupada. Otherwise, very high chances of deviating from our current Acharya. Yeah, so any comment or question on this?
So it doesn't mean that in the school, if the option of learning Sanskrit is there, then one should not take it up because there is more of an insecurity in learning Sanskrit than one might, severe. I mean, he will not be as loyal to the Sampraday then.
Okay. That's a good question. See, because I think, okay, in one particular situation, Prabhupada also encouraged that, like, for example, you know, he also established Gurukuls, and Prabhupada wanted that all the students, all the boys, who are going to the Gurukul, Prabhupada wanted them to learn Sanskrit also. But I think it is very clear that what Prabhupada wanted is they should know elementary Sanskrit. And what kind of Sanskrit that we are talking about is currently is high-level Sanskrit language, where Prabhupada said if someone would like to know Sanskrit properly, it means that they have to learn the grammar. And if you want to learn the grammar, it will take 11 years at least to learn Sanskrit grammar. And then another 2-3 years to get trained oneself and like have thorough knowledge of certain things. So that was the concern of Prabhupada, that elementary Sanskrit where, I think he was okay and he wanted us to know certain element level of Sanskrit, because so that we can just pronounce the Sanskrit syllables properly, because the pronunciation was recommended by Prabhupada, that he wanted that the devotees should pronounce Sanskrit properly and vibrate it properly so that people will be impressed by that. So that was there, but at the same time, I think he did not encourage the idea that they should specially learn Sanskrit grammar and become scholarly in that area. Or maybe you can say that, okay, he only encouraged someone who is probably loyal to him. Okay, so this is very important. Obviously, in future, there will be many Gurukulis who might be knowing Sanskrit elementary class. But if they want to do, if they are very much interested to make it a service, lifelong service, then the first thing that it should, they have to be inculcated is they should be loyal to Prabhupada. That is the first thing that they should be taught. Otherwise, what is the use? See, your Acharya is creating a Gurukul for you. You go through the Gurukul. Your Acharya is giving you everything. He is giving you knowledge. He is giving you books. He is giving you facilities, prasadam, devotees, everything. You learn Sanskrit language. You become expert in that. And then after 15 years, you deviate from the Acharya. So do you think that kind of thing any Acharya would possibly want to do? Obviously not. The Acharya is giving you everything and then you reject the Acharya and you go away and you start your own sampradaya. So obviously that is a great disservice for the Acharya. It's a ungratefulness also. So this is very important, that Sanskrit language, it's not necessary for devotees. In fact, what to speak of Sanskrit? If devotees, they had no talents in a particular area, Prabhupada always used to tell them that you don't have to waste your time cultivating that kind of talent. Whatever talent you have, you use that in Krishna's service, because we don't have so much time. And Prabhupada's idea was very clear that if you don't have talent, you try to learn that talent, many years will pass, and if you die, what will happen? You cannot do anything. So better whatever talent you have, engage that in Krishna's service. You don't have to go out of the way and learn. And even for languages also, Prabhupada never insisted so much. He never emphasized so much devotees that they should learn local languages. He said, preach according to your capacity, according to your realization, and be sincere, be pure, then success will come. He never emphasized so much on learning local languages. But if devotees, they have the time and they are able to do it quickly, they can do it. But it is of no use. And in fact, Jannivasuru, he even went to the extent of saying one time in a class that if you have a material desire, if you have a desire even to get the talent for Krishna's service, if you do not attain that talent in this life, then Krishna will send you back in the next life so that you actually fulfill that desire. So even though it might be for Krishna's service, but because you are emphasizing to learn that talent, it's your emphasis to learn the talent so that you can please Krishna. Krishna will give you another birth for that. So whether Krishna wants you to cultivate that talent or not, that's the main question. It is important that we try to please the Lord. And whether the Lord wants it to be done or not, that is more important. But if you are stuck with your own attachments, even though it might be service in Krishna consciousness, you might have to come back. So this is the standard I think Prabhupada expected.
Probably
that
one, first, yeah, one doubt that I have, that I can understand Srila Prabhupada saying that, at later stage in life, if one has to spend time in learning the language, then he might, have to devote a lot of time to that. So the other important devotional service might get affected. From that sense, I can understand. But why would Srila Prabhupada say that learning Sanskrit would amount to chances of somebody becoming disloyal to Srila Prabhupada? That aspect, I don't understand the connection there. Why should learning Sanskrit result in somebody becoming disloyal to Srila Prabhupada?
Yeah, because then you see, once you are a Sanskrit scholar, that means then you start translating on your own. So whatever Prabhupada translated, then you use your intelligence and you start thinking why Prabhupada is translating like this. you know, actually, you know, even if you don't know Sanskrit language, you can clearly make this out very much easily. And what you do is, you just, when you go to the word-to-word synonym, you see how Prabhupada has translated, how he has actually given the meaning of that Sanskrit word. But actually, that Sanskrit word does not mean exactly like that. So, like, you know, for example, many places, Prabhupada talks about, like, you know, if it is something mentioned about something about Vishnu, Prabhupada writes that Krishna consciousness. And then Prabhupada mentions about devotional service. One is the devotee. Although the verse actually talks about a self-realized person, but Prabhupada says that the devotee of the Lord. So you start identifying these things in his translations as you keep reading his books. And then if you are a scholarly person, obviously you will say that why he is translating like this. And then you start getting that doubt. So just not to supersede Prabhupada was concerned about, you know, people or devotees learning Sanskrit. Like, you know, so that is the reason. So it has to be balanced with loyalty also. And it has to be balanced with amount of faith, you know, with a greater amount of faith. So see, having faith in the translation and having faith in Prabhupada, these are two different things. So if we think that we have more faith, that our intelligence is saying that this word is translated like this, and I should, and it's a common thing that people are using. All the other Sanskrit people outside, they are also using the same context. And then you start thinking why Prabhupada is translating like this. Then one must have faith in Prabhupada. The faith has to be stronger in Prabhupada than one's own intelligence or one's own surroundings. See, that is the reason it is mentioned that Guru means heavy with knowledge. So what is the meaning of that? Heavy with knowledge means if you weigh on a scale the knowledge of the Guru, or you can say the instructions of the Guru on one scale and instructions of thousands of people on another scale, still the weight of the Guru or the instruction of the Guru will be more. Because, so you know, that is the meaning of Guru is heavy with knowledge. Because he is realized. He knows the absolute truth. So that is the reason, even if 1,000 people will say something which Prabhupada didn't say, or probably contradict what he said, and Prabhupada is a single person who will say one thing, still Prabhupada's weight will be more because he is a self-realized devotee. And others are not even reached the stage of, see, we are all conditioned soul. We are at the stage of Pajantikriya Anartha Nivritti. Anartha Nivritti is still happening. Prabhupada is a devotee from the spiritual world. So how there is a comparison, you know, there is no comparison. And still devotees, because of their material intelligence, they get sometimes bewildered that how Prabhupada has used these things, how he has translated these things. Okay, so there are, you know, these are some of the examples, but there are, you know, many, many examples like this where one has to become very cautious and careful. Because once you attain, once you start attaining more and more knowledge, then obviously we know that the more a person has knowledge, more wise a person is, the more proud he can become also. Right? So I want to speak of, see, now here we have more faith in Prabhupada because we don't know Sanskrit. So we are accepting what he's saying. There is no chance of any kind of controversy here, any kind of challenge to Prabhupada's translations, because we accept it, okay. And obviously we see, we know, we hear that Prabhupada was completely Krishna-centered. He was not self-centered, right? So everything was for Krishna. Prabhupada's life was for Krishna. Prabhupada's life was for us also, for the devotees. So we understand, okay, we accept Prabhupada as it is. But there will be obviously many, many challenges when you start understanding Sanskrit language. Because then you start pointing out each and every word Prabhupada translated, you start thinking, oh, why? It will build up. Like initially you might neglect it, you might overlook it. But then the same thing will come up and then you will get bewildered that, oh, why he is doing like this. So see, it requires, and see, one more thing, that many Sanskrit scholars also, it's not necessary that they will all of them agree with each other. There are, you know, areas, and Sanskrit is such a language which has, you can actually translate according to the context. It's not necessary, it's an absolute thing. Okay, you can use the same word and translate in different contexts, like in different situations. different ways. So Prabhupada translating the word Vasudev as Krishna consciousness is completely all right, because Vasudev actually means pure the state of Sudha Sattva, that form of pure devotion. So that Vasudev stage, now Vasudev is obviously one of the names of Krishna, so in that sense it is also okay. Vasudev can also refer to the pure Sudha Sattva stage, and which is also Krishna conscious state, because when you be Krishna conscious, when you are Krishna conscious, you are also on that platform. But now, actually, was Krishna there when Prahlad Maharaj was there? Was Krishna present when Jad Bharat was there? Was Krishna present when Rishabdev was there? When Kapila Muni was there? No, Krishna was not there. But every time you see Prabhupada is translated in terms of Krishna consciousness. So nothing wrong with that, because Krishna consciousness includes everything. Just as Rupa Goswami explains that why particularly in the Bhaktisamrita Sindhu verse, Rupa Goswami uses Anya Vilasita Sunyam Jnana Karma Dhyana Vritam Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhaktir Uttama. So why he has not used the word Vishnu Anushilanam? He has specifically used Krishna Anushilanam. Why? Anyone can explain? Nirvika?
Prabhupada, can you please repeat that question? In between, I don't know, it was not clear. I couldn't hear what you were saying.
Yeah, I am saying, but did you hear what we are discussing till now?
Yes.
Because it is connected.
It was about the Prabhupada when want to learn Sanskrit and the reason why people could deviate because of that. So that kind of, so this is the last one, two minutes I could not hear properly.
Yeah, so I was saying that, when I was giving the different types of examples, when Prabhupada is translating the word Vasudeva as Krishna or Krishna consciousness, or, there are wherever the Brahman, the state of Brahman is mentioned, Prabhupada translates as the devotee of the Lord, devotee of Vishnu, devotee of Krishna, like that. He mentions that like that. So I gave a specific example from Bhaktisamrita Sindhu that even if Prabhupada is translating Krishna consciousness, that Vasudeva word, that is completely okay, because, and then I quoted one verse from Bhaktisamrita Sindhu, Anya Vilasita Sunyam, Jnana Karma Dhyana Vritam, Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti. So why Rupa Goswami is using Krishnanu Shilanam? Why he is not using Vishnu Anu Shilanam? So when we are defining, or Rupa Goswami is when he is defining Uttama Bhakti, why he is specifically using Krishnanu Shilanam? So I believe that in the Bhakti Shastra course, they might have probably shared this reason. Each and every single syllable from that verse has been chosen very intelligently, or you can very in a realized way. It's not something haphazardly. Every word, every syllable has a meaning actually in that. So like for example, Anya Bilas. So why it is Anya Bilasita? Why it is not Anya Bilas? So why that A is added in the last word? And then why Krishna Anushilanam? So it is mentioned by Rupa Goswami that if he included Vishnu, I think the Acharya has mentioned this, that if Vishnu is added, then that would exclude the worship of Krishna. But when Krishna is added, then Krishna includes all the Vishnu forms. So Krishna Anushilanam means either Krishna, worship to Krishna, or worship to any other forms of Krishna also, like Ram, Narasimha, Vara, like that. So that is Uttama Bhakti. So this Uttama Bhakti is not just connected to Krishna, but it is also connected to any of the Krishna's forms. And Krishna includes all Vishnu forms. But Vishnu not necessarily includes Krishna also. So that's the reason, Krishna Anushilanam. And again, in this realization of the verse is coming not from the sentiments of Rupa Goswami, but it is coming from the thorough research from Shastra. So in the beginning, you know, Rupa Goswami is quoting many verses from the Puranas, and then finally he gives the definition of Uttama Bhakti. So then he says that what is real Uttama Bhakti? Anya Bilasita. So why this Sita is there? Because so Anya Bilas means any desire except the desire to serve Krishna. So see, if it was Anya Bilas Sunyam, then what would happen? All the desires should be zero. There should be no desire. But why Sita is there? Anya Bilas Sita Sunyam means all desires except the desire to serve Krishna. That should be Sunyam. Right?
Yeah, correct, yeah.
Yeah, so see, so that's how, and then jnana karma di anavritam. That jnana and karma, it's not made to be sunyam, but it is jnana karma di anavritam, which means that jnana and karma accept it when it is connected to Krishna and reject it when it is not connected to the Supreme Lord. Anukul nena Krishna nu shilanam. So shilanam, anukul, all these are very important words in that. That is the reason Nectar of Devotion is it's a must actually book for everyone. It is the foundation of Bhakti Ras. Every devotee must thoroughly know this Nectar of Devotion. It's also the manifestation of Srimati Radharani. Just as Bhagavatam is the manifestation of Krishna, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is manifestation of Srimati Radharani. So very, very important book. Okay. Yeah, so I hope this makes sense. Did you follow, Prabhu?
I didn't get some gist of it, Prabhuji.
You didn't get what?
I could get some of it, yes. I could get some of it.
Okay. Yeah, so basically, you know, the more scholarly you become, the more your mind tend to refute Prabhupada's translation. Because you see, that is the reason this process is actually revelation. It's a matter of revelation. It is not a matter of knowledge based. If it is knowledge based, then whoever is the greatest scholar of Sanskrit in the entire world, we should only follow him. Whether he is
right.
A Vaishnav or not a Vaishnav, that does not matter, because, you know, if you are saying that someone is the greatest scholar in the planet and, you know, he is the Sanskrit, because then obviously he can actually translate Sanskrit perfectly. But the thing is that there is no, you cannot say that, okay, this translation is the perfect, because Sanskrit can be interpreted in different ways. That language itself is such, it's a vast language. It can be interpreted in many ways. That's the reason we have not just the Acharya, we have the Guru Sadhu Shastra, all the three. Because, see, and another thing, another also important point is, when Krishna himself told Arjuna, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Arjuna, what he replied, he said, yes, I accept it, because even Narada, Devala, Asita, they all claim the same thing. And even I have realized it. I have seen it. So he is again also referring to the Sadhus, Shastras and Guru. Okay, so even if there is the greatest scholar on the earth, but if he is given us a non-Vaishnava interpretation, then we reject it, right? It's so simple. We reject it because it's a non-Vaishnava interpretation. And that is the reason we only accept the Vaishnava interpretation. So Shankaracharya, for example, you know, he was there. He was the most prominent Acharya, and he has also elaborately translated many literatures. At his particular point of time, he was the king. He was the greatest Sanskrit scholar. I mean, people used to think like that, who are the Mayavadi followers. But as Vaishnavas, we refuted his Sanskrit, the interpretation that he gave. We refute that. So it is not a matter of intelligence, you know, when translating Sanskrit, it is a matter of revelation and realization, which only a pure devotee can actually do it. You know, he can only see. That is the reason Prabhupada made it very clear and very simple that this is as it is. I'm not adding anything, I'm not subtracting anything. It is as it is. He has given the realizations and commentaries of all acharyas at one place. So yeah. Okay. Okay, so now I will read the articles. Yeah, 1 second.
Okay, I'll read. It's okay. You are anyways doing the purpose.
I mean, okay. Nirvika, you would like to read?
Yeah, so this is from next.
Yeah, so this is, next is Pralanand Maharaj.
Yeah. It's just like, possibly I just executed.
22nd January.
Yeah. Yeah. Swami. Once I wrote Prabhupada the letter and asked him, how does Bhav turn into Prem? I had been reading the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Bon Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada had told Vivekananda Prabhu that we should only read the purport, but not the translations in that book. The prophet Prabhupada Srila Jiva Goswami or Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Rupanuja didn't like me reading that book, but I'd stay up at night and read it secretly. I thought that it would give me some special realizations. After a while, I was convinced that I was in the stage of Bhav, and it was just a question of time before it turned into Prem. That's why I asked Srila Prabhupada about how Bhav turns into Prem. He wrote me a one-page response from preaching, which surprised me. Srila Prabhupada wrote, I've heard that you are all going out in Buffalo. This is very good. You should go all out, chant Hare Krishna all around Buffalo, distribute Bhagavad Gita and preach about Bhagavad Gita as much as possible. The boys and girls in your country generally are good souls. That's why they've taken birth in such a nice country. Just like here in San Francisco, we have had Rath Yatra, and 10,000 boys and girls were dancing and chanting in full transcendental ecstasy. I've heard that in just 2 weeks in New York, they distributed 3,000 Bhakti Godheads, and that in Buffalo, you're also distributing Bhakti Godheads very nicely. Please continue this way, and your success in life is assured. As Krishna sees that you're working seriously to bring his other children back to the spiritual kingdom, then he will bestow all of his blessings upon you. Krishna is never ungrateful for our efforts to serve him, rest assured. Regarding your question, how does Bhav turn into Prem? There is no need to trouble yourself over such advanced questions at the present time. Shortly, I'll be publishing the Metro of Devotion, and that will be explained there. As far as the $50 you sent me, I find no enclosed money in your letter. Do you know where it is? So at once I realized that Prabhupada was quite sensitive. Instead of answering my question directly, he answered it in another way. It was not the answer that I expected, but if I actually wanted these advanced stages of Krishna consciousness, the method was going out and distributing Prabhupada's books and chanting Hare Krishna in the street. That would gradually give me what I was looking for.
This is the Prabhupada standard. This is the Prabhupada way, to reach the level of Bhava and Prema. Yes, this is the standard answer Prabhupada gave to most of the disciples. And Prabhupada's focus was right from the beginning on preaching. And, he has in many, many letters, in fact, most of the letters he has written this point very clearly, that just spread Krishna consciousness, give this life to Krishna and, chant and read the books and obviously don't commit offenses. And in this very lifetime, you will go back to Godhead. There is no doubt about it. So Prabhupada has already given a path to us. If we have faith, then we'll attain success also. So Prahlad Anand Maharaj also, here he is expressing that I was thinking that I was at the state of Bhava, by reading the book and all, but somehow he could realize that he has a long way to go. So it's not so easy to read these stages, because Anartha Nivritti itself is a big stage. And but I think, if you remember, we had discussed about the British East India Company, how one fellow person from the British East India Company, he was with a captain in a ship, and then, you know, because of his political influence, he was able to conquer major parts of India. He was awarded the title as Lord. So even though he had no qualification, but because he did a great service, he was awarded the title Lord. So similarly, Prabhupada said, when he was asked that if a devotee does major service, you know, then he, you know, then he can be awarded the title as Lord, which means that then Krishna's mercy can easily come in and he can go back to Godhead. So these things are, they are all theoretical things, but I think the most important thing is to serve the spiritual master. That should be the key. That is what actually is required to be understood, that by serving the spiritual master, we automatically go back to Godhead. Or you can say that we are in Godhead. We are not in the material world, because, you know, Prabhupada said many times that, and Rupa Goswami also says that this in Bhakti Samrit Sindhu, that if a devotee engages his body, mind, senses in the service of Lord continuously, then he is liberated. He is no longer considered to be material. His body is also liberated. So in that sense, we are in back to Godhead, because what are we doing in back to Godhead also? We are serving and trying to please Krishna only. And so same thing we are doing here also, trying to please Prabhupada. So we should not be worried about anything else. That is actually the essence of what Maharaj is actually sharing. Okay, yeah. So any comment on this?
Prabhuji, Prayagana Maharaj is he has read Bhagavad Gita 40 times, right? Over the
Prayagana Maharaj has read Bhagavad Gita 150 times.
150 times, okay, sorry. So quite less.
And Drut Karma, because you were not present in the beginning part of the class, but Rajiv Prabhu started with one article which actually spoke about that, how Krishna spoke everything, dictated everything to Prabhupada, and this is how he has written the books.
Mm-hmm.
So I was mentioning this point, and I forgot to mention that Drut Karma Prabhu, he has read four books of Prabhupada in the last 40 years, 40 times.
Mm-hmm.
Every year he is reading all these four books. And not just that, he has also read Prabhupada letters, he has also read conversations of Prabhupada, and he has also read the Acharya works.
Which books have you read? Which four books are those?
Yeah, the four most important books that Prabhupada had always suggested. Which is the Bhagavad Gita, then the Bhagavatam, and teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and Nectar of Devotion.
Okay.
So, yeah, and you know, by profession, he's a geologist, archaeologist, sorry. Can you imagine, you know, how much he must be reading every day? Because archaeology means facts and figures, you know, history. So much in-depth knowledge he must be having about the history. And then obviously on the top of that, he's also reading Prabhupada's book so much. That's phenomenal. So, okay, yeah. Okay, you can continue.
Okay, 29 January, Bhagavad. As exalted and as glorious as he was, Srila Prabhupada was humble, unlike other gurus, who'd say they were something wonderful. Once there was a dispute between senior devotees about Srila Prabhupada's position. A woman disciple wrote to Srila Prabhupada. Some of the devotees say that you can see what's in the heart of all your disciples. And other devotees say that you can't do that. What do you say? Please tell me. Prabhupada's secretary read this question and Prabhupada said, for a greatly advanced pure devotee, this is not at all difficult. He can easily see what is going on in the hearts of all his disciples. The secretary said, okay, I should tell her that you can do this? Prabhupada said, I didn't say that. I said a greatly advanced pure devotee could see that. I'm not a greatly advanced pure devotee. I'm not even a devotee. I'm just trying to be a devotee. So in that statement, he simultaneously exhibited his humility and also showed us what our state of consciousness should be in trying to develop our Krishna consciousness. We are trying to be a devotee.
So I have shared, you know, all the best Prabhupada Leelas with all of you. And I think maybe you have not even read it probably earlier. So I felt that, you know, I think we shouldn't skip all these things because these are so important. So see, now here actually we also can understand how Prabhupada very easily said that, yeah, it is possible for very advanced devotees to tell and see what is going in their heart. It's very easy. You can read minds. In fact, you know, when I was associated with Mahanidhi Maharaj, so that time in one particular class, he was mentioning this point that, you know, this understanding or reading people's mind is actually on a material platform. It is not even spiritual. Because if you become more sattvic, you know, more in sattva guna, then it is easy for you, it is easy for someone to read people's mind also. And, you know, he was also giving examples of yogis, that yogis, they are generally in the mode of goodness, and that's the reason they are able to read people's mind. Just by looking at them, they can actually, and Prabhupada said many times that the face is the index of mind. So Prabhupada saw someone's face, he could understand what's going in the mind of people. And many times, you know, and not just Prabhupada, but even exalted Vaishnavas in our movement, we have seen how they have read people's mind. There's so many examples, like live examples, not just about Prabhupada, but there are many exalted sannyasis, gurus in ISKCON. They, you know, when disciples, they share their realization experience with their guru, they do share these things, that how their guru has read their minds. So it is not a very big thing, actually. For a devotee like Prabhupada, obviously these are like all ordinary things. Because these are the mystic siddhis. And siddhis are like what? Servants of the devotees. So for Prabhupada, nothing is, you know, these things are all ordinary. And what to speak of, even, you know, at the level of someone who is very advanced. But even devotees, when they are guiding others, so generally we come across the nature of the person, and just by understanding their nature, we can easily predict how they are going to behave and reciprocate in a particular situation. So it is not so difficult. Yeah. So any comments on this? Okay. I was thinking that these Prabhupada Leelas, they are so important. Actually, let's do this in another session. We can continue this. I was thinking at least till the coronavirus thing is going on, maybe we can start another session on Saturdays or Sundays. You know, again, like depending on the availability of devotees, we can do it on Saturday or Sunday. Because anyways, we are not able to go to temple and we are not able to do anything. We are like, as Rajiv Prabhu said, we are arrested in the house. So, locked up. And I think, so we can start something on Saturday or Sunday. And we can go through all these Prabhupada Leelas. At least till the time the coronavirus goes down. You know, and we are allowed to go. So then we can also... Huh?
What time do you want to do it?
I think it's quite obvious that maybe, you know, after 8:30 only in the evening, after 8:39, because maybe, I think we can do it in the afternoon, in the evening also, because I was thinking of like some kind of commitment, but I just realized that anyways we are not allowed to go outside.
Sundays it may be difficult because my Bhakti Vedanta class is also going on online, and that the timing is not the afternoon time. I mean, it's mostly in the evening. 5 or 5:30 or something to 7 or 7:30 they're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I will probably feel that after 8 p.m., I think we can do it Saturday or Sunday. I mean, whichever days I am okay, we just have to coordinate. So then what we can do is we can also continue our Gaur Leela and we can also continue with Prabhupada Leela. Both things can go simultaneously.
Okay.
So what do you think, Rajiv Prabhu and Swati Mataji?
Hi, Subhi. As long as this virus thing is there, we can do no problem.
Yeah. Okay. So let's start it. This coming Saturday we can do it. Coming Saturday or Sunday, and I'll let you know about it. So we can continue with our Prabhupada Leela on the weekend, and Monday next Monday we can continue with our Gaur Leela.
Okay.
So Saturday, Nirvika, you said Saturday is possible for you.
Saturday, yeah, as of right now, Saturday is okay because even this weekend.
See, as long as the lock-in period is there,
yeah.
I think everyone should be able to attend because even guests are not allowed to, like, we are not supposed to meet.
Yeah, it's not about that. It's just about so many online classes clashing at the same time. That's my problem.
Online, you have just one, right? You have Bhakti Shastri only,
Bhakti Vaibhav. No, Bhakti Vaibhav and even Bhakti Vaibhav and even Mukhamadhav Prabhu, even he's doing online. So Mukhamadhav Prabhu.
Acha, he's currently doing online.
Yes, he's doing online. So
the same class that he's taking on Saturdays, he's doing it online now.
Yes, but this time he did it on Sunday at in the morning, 11 o'clock he took it. If it is Sunday, 11 o'clock, then we can do on Saturday evening. Saturday, 8 o'clock or something, that is also fine.
Okay. So, okay. But as we, you know...
The only other problem is that a lot of the students, they are saying that, and my Bhakti Vaibhav batch, that to finish the portion quickly, they are okay with doing even the Bhakti Vaibhav class even on Saturdays also. So like 2 days a week, Saturdays and Sundays. So that is the only problem. So right now, nothing has been fixed. Sunday is the fixed thing. But as of right now, he's only told on Sunday's window and the remaining days, if someone wants and he's doing other classes or something, which is not necessary that I attend. I just want to just be there when he's doing Bhakti Vaibhav. That's it.
I was thinking of weekend because I wanted to also invite devotees from outside. US or so they can also join. Otherwise, even weekday also, I think for me it's okay currently. And I will try to find out how many devotees from outside India can join on weekdays because of time difference. So if they are unable to join on weekends, then we can have the class on weekday also so that our class can at least go on. But if they want to join, then probably we'll have to keep it on weekend only.
Yeah, I mean, as long as it's after 8 o'clock, then I think mostly it should be okay. After 8:15 something, whatever date is, I think I'll be okay with it.
Yeah, it will be after 8 only. I don't think it will be possible before that.
Yeah, because even if that will be the better time for them.
Yeah. In fact, I probably think that they will be able to join by 9 o'clock because, it's probably too early for... the West Coast and East Coast.
Yeah,
East Coast, probably they can manage. But let's figure out about that.
Yeah.
So I will update in the group.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So thank you for. One more thing. I wanted some help regarding my publishing of book. So I wanted some reviewers, editors like that. So I wanted to speak to some of you and about, if you can actually help me out in that because now I have to start editing the book. And for editing, obviously, that review is very essential, that critical review, critics, and then, the editing part, the grammar part, many things are there. So
maybe I might require help of some devotees, and so I will try to figure out which devotee can help in what way. So maybe I will just talk to you personally about it.
Okay.
Okay, all right. Thank you, very good for joining. Hare Krishna and Dhanvat Pranam.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.